The Shortcode Podcast is a proud member of the MedEd Media Network. Inspiration, information, and guidance on your journey to medical school and beyond at mededmedia.com.
Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Shortcode Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues, and interviews
by students for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcoat.com.
Welcome back to the Shortcoat Podcast from the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine. I'm Dave Etler. Joining me today, practically but not actually in the same building, are some of the most beautiful, spiritually and physically, people I can think of. A hearty salut to Aline Sanduk.
Hello.
Vanakkam, Sahana Arumagom. Come here. Arumagom. Arumagom.
What?
Nope, take it to the top.
I'm going to keep it. Guten Tag, Nathan Spitzer.
Hola. Oh my God, I'm trying to say hello in German. Wie geht's?
Fesker Ma.
It's just hello.
Fesker Ma, Miranda Skeen.
Hi, welcome to this trash fire of a podcast. Good grief.
Yeah. I tried to choose greetings according to your last name origins that I could figure out. I don't know if I was successful or not.
You were impressive.
Wait, did you call me?
I said Fesker Ma. That's Scottish for good afternoon.
You're not wrong, but also my last name is technically misspelled Italian, so it's kind of cheating.
Oh. Buongiorno.
Yeah. There you go.
Fucking ambition.
Yeah.
Whatever's easiest for the natives to pronounce makes a lot of sense.
Basically,
look, I'm not going to trash that. I keep messing up Sahana's name like every single time she's on the show.
Every time.
It's like a tongue twister for me, and it's so Arumagom.
Yeah.
Right?
Wait, Arumagom, Sahana. Yeah. There we go.
Put the accent on the first syllable. Arumagom.
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 Yeah.
Arumagom.
I'm not going to be. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm trying not to be a trash person, Sahana. I'm trying.
The fact that you're trying makes you not a trash person to begin with.
Well,
that's true.
Okay.
I had a friend in high school who his name was Bobby, but he was actually Iranian. So his name was Bobby Sauter, and we always laughed about why he was called Bobby. And the origin story of that name is that in first grade, when he moved to the States, his first name was unpronounceable. So his teacher goes, "All right, Bobby. Okay, got it." And henceforth, he was known as Bobby.
Nice. Very nice.
Know your limits, first grade teacher.
Yeah. How's social distancing going, you guys?
Poorly.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. It's going fine.
Are you each with other people?
No, I live alone, but I'm planning on driving back home to DC next week so I can check up with my family.
Yeah.
There are currently 7 people in my family home right now, and there's a strong inverse relationship with my productivity and my food intake, and I'm sure you can guess which way that's going.
Dude, you're effed, man. That's
yeah, that's rough.
At least
rough, buddy.
At least they changed a lot of the courses to pass fail, so you're not going to get much study.
Oh, yeah. Who's still in class? So Nathan and Sahana, you all are still taking classes.
Oh. Yeah, we're still in preclinicals right now.
Bye, guys. I'm heartless. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of things were changed to pass fail this past week. Right? Did everything go to pass-fail for you guys?
Well, yeah. Only thing that wasn't before was like our mechanisms of health and disease, like our science class.
So that was the one that...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only one that's ever been like honors, near honors, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
So now it's entirely pass-fail.
Yeah, because they want to... Because we're taking our exams at home on our laptops. Like, we just had one this morning. So.
Yeah, basically what they're trying to do is say, you know, okay, this exam is... This class is now pass-fail. There is no point...
In cheating.
Exactly. Being academically dishonest.
Yeah.
You know,
Which
you're
makes
only
sense,
hurting yourself.
It's like, No one wants to think about it, but definitely someone would do that. So,
yeah.
Something I like other schools I know are doing are the kind of like online proctoring services. I don't know, Dave, if you know, like, did Carver,
you know,
like, look into that?
Yeah. I asked, I was talking to one of the curriculum managers today, Lena, and she said that there was one that they looked at that required every person to have a camera and a special camera. And somebody would watch them, like a proctor would watch a bunch of people. But it had to be a special camera. And I'm like, that's dumb. That's not going to work.
That's also really creepy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I get it. Yeah. Like, if you know they're watching, it's not as creepy, but it still just sounds like I'm monitoring you.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Don't pick your nose or it will be on video. So,
I see you test with your pants off. Interesting strategy. So, I'm not opposed to it. Continue.
So I think in the end, they just decided, you know what? We've got this honor code. We've changed it to pass-fail. There's no incentive anymore for those people who, you know, the inevitable few who feel like they, you know, need a leg up and they're, you know, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think things are, well, I haven't gotten as many emails lately saying, you know, this has changed or we're doing this differently or anything like
that. Yeah, it definitely does seem to have settled. Like, I don't think anyone really knows what's happening, but they at least know enough to get through the next couple of days.
Yeah.
I think this week went by pretty smoothly. Like, there's nothing...
No major disasters this week.
Yeah, I don't know. I think everything was fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be honest, I'm a little jealous because this is the med school experience I signed up for. So when I interviewed, it was 2012. 2012. And then I was accepted into something else that I wanted to do, so I postponed for a year. And when I had interviewed, all of the people that I talked to were like, yeah, all of our classes are recorded, so I don't really leave my house. I just study at home, and I come on campus like once or twice a week for small groups. And I was like, awesome. And then while I was gone, they went and switched the curriculum on me. And then it was like 4,000 small groups every week. And I had to be at many places in person and didn't really like it. Yeah. So I'm a little jealous that you guys have the med school experience I have always dreamt of never having to leave your house.
Oh my God. That's so funny. Yeah, I actually kind of like it. It's kind of nice. I mean, other than not being able to like see friends, it's kind of nice to like, even though
really...
I'm definitely only half as productive, it's nice to... Yeah. Like, cut out, like Nathan was saying, like walking, because I have to walk like 30 minutes to school and 30 minutes back, and like between classes, and like make my lunch and pack it, and like now I don't.
We're all gonna be.
Definitely, yeah. It's been testing my like internal self control and my like self will to like not engorge in all the food that is sitting on my counter to like actually, I mean, like when you have like gym campuses like on your facility, you know, it's like super easy to work out in that regard. And now I have to like make my own like at home workouts and like things like that. And so there are definitely
there's no barrier to eating the food except the 6 steps between you and the food.
It's real bad.
Activation energy.
Nathan, you gotta launch your COVID-19 workout YouTube channel. And show people how it's done.
We can do a Zoom. A lot of people now are doing like Zoom yoga classes and things like that.
Yeah.
Where like
that's
an instructor will like lead a course.
I've heard of that.
Yeah,
they're actually doing daily Zumba classes at CRWC that you can phone into by Zoom, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
Obviously, I'm not going to do it, but yeah. Great idea.
It's nice having the option.
I know. Zumba is one of those things that like seems like it would be fun, but then you do it and it's like, wow, this is actually what my hell is like. So it's like, that's fun. I know what it's like if I go to hell now. It's all Zumba all the time. I mean, listen, I'm sure it works great for some people, but like my body doesn't do that. It just doesn't move like that.
Yeah. Sometimes when I try to work out, my body is like an alien. And it's like, what are these things you're making us do? And it's just so uncoordinated. And then I just look gangly and stupid.
But yeah, that was how I felt. Like, the instructor kept telling us to shake it, but didn't specify what. So I'm just kind of like, I guess I'll just vibrate. I don't know.
I'm really putting forward here. I'm putting forward like that I'm a very lazy person and lack intrinsic motivation, but like my cardio was like getting on the stair stepper and like throwing on like a Netflix episode and whatnot, and now I have to like go out and run. I don't like that. That's not that's not fun. I can't watch Grey's Anatomy while I'm
jumping
running.
Jacks. Jumping jacks. Or like fake jump rope. I jump rope a lot now.
Yeah. You know what I've also seen people do? They get those little trampolines and then they just like
I don't know. We had one of those when I was a kid. Those are so fun.
That actually seems like really good exercise and objectively a lot of fun. Yeah, I would do that.
I don't know if it's good exercise. It is fun.
It's exercise. Jumping on a trampoline for like 20 minutes, it like hurts your legs. It's a good workout.
But like a mini trampoline. You don't go very high.
It seems like a great way to fall down and die. But
it's basically running in place, but with more fun.
All right. Well, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to comment on like the social aspect of the social distancing. One unintended benefit that I've noticed is that I'm really benefiting from having a lot of control over who I am exposed to and for how long on a social basis. I really like that, actually. Like, I forget, number one, how much time I waste just having like shooting the breeze bullshitty conversations where I'm like, well, you're here, I'm here, let's talk about the weather. And I don't have those conversations now that I'm in my house. So like, I have to be way more intentional about the social contact that I have. So like, I've reconnected with a lot of old friends, and mind you, like, those have been long conversations, but like long and like very fulfilling and meaningful. So
yeah,
it's not all bad, I think, to socially. So I might institute social distancing even after all of this is over, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I'm actually maybe even more social, because usually during the week, like, I don't hang out that much, maybe like once or twice during the week. But now I'm like every night I try to like FaceTime like a friend, or like do like virtual happy hour, or like play D&D, or like something every day of the week. So
I spent a lot of time last night FaceTiming with my parents, who were arguing over this thing that my dad wanted to buy for his iPad. And I guess I enjoyed that.
Well, you were there for it, and that's what
matters.
But
you were there, yeah.
You were included.
I was there for it. In the end, I got to make fun of my dad real hard. Because I'm like, Dad, you can't buy that thing. It doesn't work with an iPad. It literally says for PC and Mac. And he's like, well, it's Apple. Everything is Apple. When I see Apple, it's all the same thing. And I'm like, Dad. He's like, your mom goes and buys a dress that doesn't fit and has to return it. And I'm like,
what a sick burn. Oh, my God.
And I'm like, Dad.
Savage, dude.
But it's stupid, because I'm like, Dad, that analogy does not work. If mom went to the store to buy a dress and came home with one that was for a chimpanzee, then that would be a problem. That's what you're doing. That's what you're trying to do, Dad.
I feel like that analogy is just opening the door for more sick burns.
There's so much love.
I love how technology has empowered you to continue being tech support for your family.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah.
It is the worst.
Yeah. No getting away from any of the family fun.
I was definitely happy to make fun of my father for a little while. That was great. It was so bad that even he could not pretend that he was right. Last week, I asked our listeners and our students to send in some things that they've been doing in their communities to help out during this difficult time. Here's some of the things that I learned. Rachel said she volunteers at the Crisis Center and the food bank. Both are kind of challenged right now. Her food bank is seeing increased need from people who have lost jobs or job hours, coupled with a need to keep a distance between volunteers and clients. In her work at the Crisis Center, volunteer hours are reduced. to prevent the spread of COVID-19, which means that she has contact with clients. There's a lot of disinfecting that needs to be done around the office, washing her clothes and showering apparently a lot. She also volunteers at the hospital screening patients and visitors. So she's like taking her temperature twice a day and monitoring her symptoms because she doesn't want to spread the virus to others. And she volunteers for Iowa Harm Reduction Coalition. So she's keeping busy.
Damn, bitch, relax.
This is great. I think what all of these things...
Making the rest of us look so bad.
I know. I know, seriously. Shit.
I think what all of these things are going to highlight is that people just need to do whatever they need to do to keep them sane. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah. Dave, can you please edit out me being such an asshole to someone who is doing such a great thing?
Absolutely not. Keeping that in.
Rachel, that came from a place of love and frankly jealousy.
She knows.
Much love to you.
She knows.
I mean, it's fair. Like, I'll just jump in and defend you right now. Like, I'm almost feeling the same way just because I feel like I've tried some different ways of trying to help out and get involved. But a lot of the places I asked to volunteer have like shut down.
Because
they don't want to spread the transmission. So I'm like, if you have like pre-existing connections with something that can be helping out, like do it. I'm trying to do my part and just like keep myself out of everything, keep myself out of your way. So just like go do your stuff. Just know that I'm angry because I wish I could be.
And look, that is an important thing to do right now, right? I mean, just because we're not physically volunteering or doing things doesn't mean that you're not doing something. Mm-hmm. We'll get
this there. Is the one time in our lives where it's doing nothing is literally saving lives.
Yeah,
I know. It's awesome.
It's heroic, actually.
I love it.
Not all
stuffs
heroes.
Popcorn into my face on the couch while marathoning The Good Place. I'm a hero.
I'm a hero.
Christina also helps screen patients and staff at the hospital as they enter. She answers phones at the employee health clinic, advising employees on whether to come in based on their symptoms.
Are these Carver College students? Or
some of them.
Students?
Many of them are. Yeah.
Okay.
She's a PPE runner, delivering them from the storeroom to units that need them. And she's also made herself available for babysitting to physicians who need it. Nicholas, not you, Nick, because you're a slug. Nick is volunteering at his hometown's public health department. He's doing things like taking minutes during meetings, working with the group that's establishing drive-through testing sites for when those become available. And since his mom is one of those public health officials, he's helping her come up with ideas for her Facebook Live addresses. In fact, he helped the public address she made when the first case in his county was announced. So,
nice.
That's kind of an interesting
one. Cool.
Destiny's calling around businesses, asking them to donate PPE to local hospital. Our friend Taz has been writing articles addressing social distancing and advocating against some of the less desirable behaviors that COVID-19 has uncovered, like hoarding of essential and non-essential products. Mm-hmm. Toilet paper is getting a little light at the Etler house. I hope at some point I can get out and find some toilet paper.
No, I was going to say, did you all see those huge raids of people who had like initially stocked up on it? Like thousands and thousands of dollars, and we're like putting it on Amazon at like a higher price.
Yeah.
And then people like went in and like, I think some people got like arrest. Don't quote me on this, but like got in like legal trouble.
Yeah, it's like price gouging, right?
I know Amazon.
Gouging is against the law.
Yeah.
If you change the price of something more than 10% above the price it was originally prior to whatever, the circumstances, you can actually call, I think, the Department of Commerce or the Department of Labor and report them for it. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Who's doing that for StubHub? Can we get StubHub in trouble, please? Elizabeth Warren. Sick 'em.
Another thing about buying groceries, if you're buying things, like, try not to buy things that are WIC.
Because people
who can only buy WIC things who only use WIC can only get those things. So if those are gone, then they don't have much other options. So try to.
How would you tell that something is WIC eligible?
So I think like on the price, it'll say like WIC on it.
Okay. Yeah, I think.
So if you have like multiple options of milk that you can get, like try to not get the WIC one if you can afford the other ones, because
what does WIC stand for?
Those are like the only options.
Yeah, what is like women, infant, and child.
Yeah.
So it doesn't stand for a douchebag who wants to make a shitload of money on the internet, or people who plan to shit a lot in the next, you know, few weeks and really can't stand to have no toilet paper.
You know, interesting.
Just wanted to clear that up.
Searches for bidets have gone up like 4,000%.
Oh, yes. Amazon is like sold out of cheap bidets.
I have one. Yeah. I have one in a cabinet in my house that I have not installed. I feel like it's now.
Now's the time.
It's now or never, dude.
And I'm looking forward to this like review. Like off, I feel like on the show a couple times we've like reviewed, you know, medical products and whatnot. So I look forward to hearing.
Yeah.
Hearing your take on your bidet.
I will do the next show live from my bathroom.
This reminds me. Demo. Actually, not even kidding. I got a phone call from my dad like a week ago being like out of the blue, just like, hey, Miranda, are you interested in a bidet for your house? And I'm like, well, good morning to you too, father. I hadn't really thought about it. So long
story
short. Let's
not immediately talk about our buttholes.
Let's maybe warm up here.
The last, yeah. I did have one a while back that broke eventually, but it was very powerful if you weren't careful. Like you could blow a hole in something if you weren't careful. So
you could like it too much.
Aline, shush. No.
Let's see.
There's no shame. Understandable.
Taz is also making YouTube videos explaining some of the concepts around COVID-19, like social distancing, the work being done to create treatments and vaccines, and how multiple people might use a single ventilator. And I'll post those videos at theshortcode.com on this episode's show notes so you can take a look. Leah is working the phones at the Des Moines 211 COVID call center. Joyce is doing telehealth. Our own Joyce Waba is doing telehealth stuff with our mobile clinic. In better times, the UI mobile clinic travels to various sites in Iowa and offers services to those who wouldn't otherwise be able to access them. So that's good that they're trying to figure out a way to keep that up.
Yeah.
Our friend Jaden, picking up garbage and litter at wildlife areas and parks he enjoys going to. Not directly COVID-19 related, but definitely a service to the community. Especially in this time when people want to get out of the house and, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, because people are using those parks more often. So, yeah. Like, keeping them clean is going to be a big factor when people are going out that wouldn't normally.
Yeah. Jonathan has started an online platform to help match healthcare providers with facilities that need the extra staffing. And Chad wrote to theshortcoats@gmail.com to tell me about the effort, his class's effort in Florida to collect PPE that went awry. Students there tried to offer gloves and gowns left over from anatomy lab. But the dean stepped in to shut that down. At any rate, he said something that I think is important to remember. Let's listen to that if I can find that.
It was interesting to see so many students eager to help in some way and not knowing exactly what to do. Personally, I think this crisis is a good example of how we need to be good stewards in our own sphere and not try to turn this into another volunteer notch on our CV. Staying home and staying clean is a way to help others that makes a real difference. Your sacrifice is saving lives.
So there you go. That's what you
for
said.
For heroes! I'm for a heroes. Hero! Wow.
So, you know, I'm not playing these to shame everybody into going out and you know, being the hero that everyone needs in this time of need.
No, I get it.
I'm just saying it's interesting. I'm just interested in hearing what people are doing. And even if that's, you know, taking the time to maybe not do as many things as you used to do, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think it's nice when we were just talking about, like, you know, a-holes on the internet price gouging toilet paper. It's really nice to remember that, you know, fundamentally people want to help and are trying. And it's nice to be hearing stories of people that are helping.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to one of our, like, M1s has actually started the whole initiative to help physicians with, like, childcare and if they need grocery and, like, pharmacy runs. So there's, like, a thing where you can sign up if you're a medical student and want to help out all the physicians who are working a lot of shifts and stuff.
Yeah. I have to say, it was really encouraging when it was, you know, all this stuff was breaking. And I feel like everyone around me, their first instinct was like, no, let me in. How can I help? I want to do things. Tell me what to do. How can I do things? Which is nice. It was a nice reminder of how nice this community is and how good we all are inside, deep down.
And with the community, too, like not just like medical students as well. Like some of my friends started like Iowa City Errands, where they're like matching, yeah, you know, just normal like community, you know, other students or people in the community with like immunocompromised or elderly people who need somebody who like to go out and get groceries or pick up prescriptions, etc. So, I mean, obviously we do want to like thank our healthcare workers like for literally putting themselves in harm's way, but they're also like, you know, everybody's impacted by this. And I think that's awesome that, you know, people here in Johnson County are stepping up and recognizing, you know, that they're, that everybody needs help. And
you know what this is a big eye opener about? It's not that people don't want to help. It's that you just have to remove the barriers that prevent them from helping. Because I think volunteerism seems to, and I'm pulling this out of thin air, but it does seem like life in the modern era has become so hectic that like volunteerism has kind of taken a back seat. But like, if you just take away just some of people's work responsibilities, then they're more than happy to use that extra time to serve others in their community.
We can't do that. We have to get America back to work immediately. I want to talk a little bit about that.
Oh no. There, I'm falling off of my nice, happy, everyone is nice cloud now. Thanks for bringing me back
also
down to earth.
Also, to preface the conversation, Sahana has a Bernie poster behind her. Sorry, not to call her out. But.
You know what? By the way, one interesting side effect of Zoom, and it's very important place in our lives. First of all, Zoom, killing it right now, right?
Hell yeah.
Dude, if you bought stock in Zoom before this all happened, you are rolling.
You are rich right now.
Yeah. So
good investment.
Good job, Zoom. Thanks. But anyway, one of the side effects of all these Zoom meetings I'm having is I'm getting just an unprecedented look into people's lives.
Yes, look into everyone's bedrooms. Like when we had class Wednesday night, I was like just peeking at everyone's room. Like you just learn so much about them. Like what kind of posters? Some people just have like nothing on their wall and it's really weird. It looks like they're just like in an empty room. Like there's not even any furniture.
I was in a meeting
it's
with Carol.
Trippy.
I was in a meeting with Dr. Carol Scott Connor the other day. We were having a meeting about our an editor's meeting for the Exam in Life Journal. And she had a whiteboard in the background. I couldn't read what was on it, but I really wanted it to be plans for world domination because, you know, she's kind of kick ass.
Just a big mushroom cloud. And right. Tell us more about that.
It's made me so self-conscious about how much I touch my face.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know we're like always, you know, like you never really are supposed to touch your face, especially now. And I'm like over here rubbing my eyes and I'm like, oh, my God, now everybody literally is directly looking at me.
Everybody
touching
knows.
My face.
I
right?
know. I've accepted this as the likely consequence that I will get corona. I cannot help but touch my face constantly.
It's a nervous tick. It's like I just have to like rub my nose.
So yeah.
I've tried to move away from the center of my face to like the edges. So like you'll see me periodically touch the edge. I'm like, as long as it's not
making sure
open,
it's still there.
I was gonna say,
as long as it's not like a mucous membrane.
This is my no-no square.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I'm doing the best I can. Okay, I'm doing what I can.
Not all heroes wear capes. Anyway, really interesting article that I found in the New Yorker on how to talk to coronavirus skeptics.
Yeah, I saw you posted that. What was that about?
It's hard to believe, but there are still some out there. The article is an interview with Professor Naomi Oreskes, I think is how you pronounce it, professor of science history at Harvard, who specializes in the distrust of science in the U.S. Ooh. And I'll put a link at theshortcoat.com in this episode show notes. You can check that out. Check the article out. But she explains the Trump administration's slow response to COVID-19 in a way that I think makes a lot of sense. First of all, no matter what, so here's how this works. First of all, no matter what we believe in politically, some things are just too annoying for us to buy into quickly, right? So social distancing and other measures that we're now enduring are sort of like getting a colonoscopy, and nobody rushes out to get a colonoscopy. Like, we put it off as long as, I mean, you guys are too young, but I am approaching the moment. But nobody runs out to get a colonoscopy. Like, my doctor warned me that this was coming. And I'm like, all right, you tell me when. I'm not going to rush to the store. I'm not going to rush to the colonoscopy place and get one.
Colonoscopy store.
The colonoscopy store.
The pharmacy to get your special drink.
Yeah.
Your cocktail.
Yeah, exactly. So we need, we put it off as long as possible. We need extra evidence. We like bloody stools or Tom Hanks getting sick to push us in the right direction.
Is Tom Hanks sick?
He
and his wife got it in Australia.
Has COVID.
Yeah. He's
tested positively, I should say. Yeah. They both did.
They were, I don't know if they still are, but they were in self-imposed quarantine.
In Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Secondly, humans do not like cognitive dissonance. Some of us more than others. Like, people like you guys might forget, because cognitive dissonance is a big part of your life. You know, that's what being a student is about. That's what learning is all about, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I understand what you're saying, actually.
Aline, don't make me smack you. You're supposed to go like, oh yeah, Dave, that's brilliant. That's a brilliant observation.
Yep. 100%.
No. Okay. So, like, when you learn things, right, especially things that don't fit with your worldview, you have cognitive dissonance, right? It happens. Sure. It happens to medical students a lot, I think, because you're always being exposed to new ideas and new things. Cognitive dissonance allows for learning.
Sure.
I think.
Okay.
I seem to remember reading about this when I was a freshman psych major or psych. Freshman
cycle. I feel like that's only, like, I know this isn't your point, but I feel like that's only really true if you're, like, learning about something that directly conflicts with what you have already learned.
All right. So, cognitive dissonance, right?
Right.
When we're hit with facts, you know, one of the ways that this shows itself is when we're hit with facts as espoused by others that doesn't align with our beliefs, we go to great lengths to make excuses for why it can't be true. So next there's this conservative idea based in libertarianism that big federal government is a bad thing. It's a deeply held belief among people who feel this way, right? And it dovetails with the idea of American exceptionalism and individuality. We don't love situations in which we must act collectively for the greater good. We would rather be rugged individualists. And certainly we, you know, some people don't like big government because, you know, it's like Big Brother and all that kind of stuff. So when presented with evidence that conflicts with that idea, for instance, a virus that affects everybody in the country and needs decisive and well-coordinated action to end, then that suggests a big and well-organized government would have had the resources to respond quickly in a crisis like this. It takes time for people to absorb that information, for people to go, maybe big government would have been helpful in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Couple that with a leader that just openly distrusts experts in favor of his own gut instinct. And that kind of explains our slow response in the U.S. and why we've sadly now passed the number of confirmed Chinese cases.
I really hope this is not what he meant when he said make America great again.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to be number one in this.
He didn't say in what. He just said we needed to be the greatest.
Yeah.
So technically, right, he fulfilled a campaign promise.
And look,
we're the greatest at infectivity.
And look, the question is, how do you, you know, like, there's a lot of pain going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those people who are like, you know, who deny the seriousness of COVID-19, they're actually also experiencing a lot of pain. And it's important to understand that their resistance is actually kind of reasonable on some level. Getting laid off sucks. It is among the worst things that can happen to a person in our society. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of them are, you know, political in nature, like we could have more social network or social safety nets and all that kind of stuff.
It's particularly psychologically detrimental to lose your job in a culture that tells you at every turn that your value is inherently tied to your ability to produce economically productive output.
Right. I mean, even now, yeah, totally. Even now, I can feel myself tightening up at the thought. And I think this is going to happen in a year when the bill for all this social distancing and business closure comes due. The state of Iowa might decide that tax revenues haven't provided enough money to keep me on the payroll. That for me is a big deal, right? I don't want to
say this so, Dave.
I don't want to
we'll
say
keep
that
you around. I don't need my stipend.
So I do want to say that I totally get this idea that we can't stop the economy to stop the virus. SES factors can kill just like a virus can, right? Those deaths are just more indirect, harder to understand, harder to track than a virus. So I have deep empathy for that viewpoint. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's entirely wrong. Is now the time?
Is the point that you're making that it's not invalid to want to like resume normal society so that the economy doesn't crash, even though it may put some people's health at risk?
Right. Well, that is the question, isn't it? I mean, I think that the impulse to do that is to restart society as soon as possible is understandable.
Yeah. I agree.
I think that's completely understandable. I think it's also understandable to go, but to wonder, well, how many people is the halting of the U.S. economy going to kill versus how many people are going to die as a result of COVID-19? I think that's also an understandable thing to ask oneself.
Yeah, that's the question, right? Would you rather die of a virus, or would you rather die of starvation?
And I don't know the answer to that question. You know, like
it's complicated.
And that's why I personally am not, you know, as much as I believe right now we're doing the right thing by staying indoors and sequestering ourselves and all that kind of stuff, I'm not certain that we can do this for so long that it flattens the curve to the ideal extent. You know what I'm saying? That's what makes me nervous.
That's one of the whole, I think, kind of like downsides of flattening the curve, is that like by flattening the curve, you're only extending how long people are going to continue to get infected. And
yeah, like I don't think it's a secret that our current model is not super sustainable. Like this is great for right now, everyone's staying at home and making sure they don't infect other people, but it's not exactly sustainable. Like,
yeah.
Eventually we're going to need to restart things.
It's a stopgap measure. I don't think anyone is out there advocating that we do this forever. I think the longest estimate I've seen, which is astronomical to me, is 18 months.
Yeah,
that seems totally
impossible. There's no way.
Jeez,
yeah, no way we'd make it that long. I would die. No, I won't. We're being real.
No, yeah. I mean, unless we like dramatically and fundamentally reshaped society to make that more palatable. But even then, I don't know. Isolation is dangerous. It literally kills people.
Yeah.
18 months in isolation is a form of torture.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
So
you can have all the Zoom meetings you want. Eventually you need to hug someone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and you know, poor Sahana all alone.
She's got a Bernie poster. So
that's all you need.
She can hug Bernie.
Yeah. There's a lot of love comes from that Bernie poster.
Nathan's got seven.
May the democratic socialist philosophy give you strength.
There's a train going by.
The train that's passing outside someone's window right now.
That's
hello,
mine.
Train.
Let's
hi.
I live
hi,
near
train
the train
tracks.
Yeah, sorry. There's nothing I can really do about
that. Derail the train. We've got a podcast to do.
Yeah, for God's sake.
It's pretty loud. Sorry.
Welcome to Iowa City.
We'll just give that a moment.
You know,
no, keep this in. I want people to know. Like, we're not lying. We are actually on a Zoom meeting.
There are trains in the U.S. We just can't ride them as private citizens.
Yes, that's true. So anyway, what we should be doing when we talk to people who are denying the seriousness of this problem is we should be acknowledging that this is terrible. We should be acknowledging that this is terrible to have to change how we live our lives, and that the fallout is going to be difficult, too. We should not be invalidating people's fears by saying, hey, too bad, people are dying.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which I think.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's a really sensible approach to disagreement, not just about coronavirus, but kind of everything. Like, no person is like, fear is irrational or not to you as you're hearing it. It doesn't really matter. It feels pretty real to the person you're talking to. And I think this is a really long winded way of saying, like, I agree with you, and we should make that kind of a staple of social discussions and political discussions in general, of like, hey, I acknowledge your concern about this. Let's talk until we find a middle ground that works for everyone.
And it's also hard for people, because I think for some people, it's hard to accept that all of these regulations are for the public interest. Like, some people are wondering, like, okay, well, who's, you know, profiting off of this? There's some, like, there has to be some other explanation, because this doesn't seem like, this infection doesn't seem that bad. So what else is going on? And there's a fear that, like, there's ulterior motives to, I mean, this is getting into conspiracy theory territory, but it's a fair thing to say, where it's like, well, if this bug isn't that serious, then what is really going on? And that kind of fear also spirals. Yeah. So.
Well, we do
I'm
love
it. It is a little bit terrifying, the prospect of, like, armed forces or the police roaming the streets, telling people to go inside.
Yeah.
And confiscating guns. That is a little scary.
Yeah. When you see that in a movie, it's like shorthand for, this is a dystopia and people are miserable here. So it's a scary thing.
One of my friends.
Yeah, I'm like scared that if I drive home next week, like, what if I won't be able to come back? What if I can't drive back?
Yeah,
we will.
Even in New York City.
What we would do? If this were a movie, what we would do is the four of us would band together and come.
There's
and,
five of us.
Well, and come and rescue me.
We would come and rescue you. You know, like, we would.
Sorry, five minus a hundred.
Right.
Got it. Sorry, math.
Yeah. We would claw our way across the country to
it would be like a zombie road trip movie.
Yes.
Yeah, we'd come get you, dude. Don't worry.
Zombie land.
We would name it in Retrieving Sahana.
In line with, like, the dystopian kind of thing, though, in one of my friends in New York, she said she went out to get groceries in a police car. Like, they have, like, automated messages going around telling people to get inside and to, like, get away from parks, and it's already kind of happening.
Panning up over the police car, announcing curfew to the protagonist's house. Like, geez.
Yeah.
And not to make light heart of this situation, but we're talking about conspiracy theories and how Zoom is doing really well right now. I did see a really good meme of, like, Scooby-Doo, of, like, where they have the ghost and, like, you know, they have COVID-19 on it, and then Fred takes the mask off and underneath it's Zoom.
Yes.
Zoom is behind this. Told you, Zoom stock is soaring right now.
I wanted to ask you guys before we wind this up, what brings you guys joy, and have you found a way to adapt that thing to fit our current circumstances, our new lives?
I've had a lot more time to bake, and I've actually managed to finish some craft projects I also started, like, three more, but I actually did finish a craft project that's just been sitting in my living room for months. So
baking is huge right now.
Yeah.
I was on
everyone I know is baking.
Sahana, I was in your class the other day. Kate invited me to come to the M1 elective that she offers for writing and humanities program, and there was a lot of people there. It was really great. That was really great, by the way. I really enjoyed that. You guys,
tell us more about this, because I'm not aware.
Yeah, go ahead.
The things you're talking about.
Go ahead, Sahana. What's this class you're taking?
So it's the Humanities and Medicine elective, and it's every Wednesday evening with Kate, and it's kind of just like a space where we talk about like stories and storytelling and, like, humanities in general, not just in medicine, and, like, identity and stuff. And it's usually, like, discussion based, and then towards the end we'll have, like, a little writing prompt, and we'll write something on our own for 10 minutes, and, like, whoever wants to can share. And yeah, it's kind of just like a nice place to think about things that aren't necessarily like medicine, or how, like, humanities affects, like, other aspects of our life, and how everything we do can be like humanities or a story.
Yeah, and this is why I brought
sounds
up.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. This is why I asked
really
this.
Fun.
This is why I asked this question because, you know, she did that at the end. She wanted us to write down something that gives us joy. And, mm-hmm. I just wanted to see what you guys were doing. So baking, yeah, baking was was mentioned quite a bit. A lot of people mm-hmm. making bread.
Yeah.
I'm reading.
What's
I'm
nice because it takes a lot of time and you never get to do it normally. Sorry, I'm probably talking over you.
No, that's all good. I mean, I was just going to say, like, I read a book, like, during the semester, which is something, like, I didn't do last semester. Like, I just never made it a priority during the semester with everything going on to, like, sit down and actually read a book.
Yeah.
And I read The Body Keeps a Score, and it was so kind of, like, soul-filling to, like, take the time, like, be intentional, like, read about something. I guess it was like semi like medicine, mm-hmm. psychiatry related, but like something that like I'm passionate about and was able to like, you know, refill that cup.
Yep. What about you, Aline? What are you doing?
So I'm back at work. Obviously, you know, as a grad student, I don't have a lab in my apartment. But the way that I've been using this time is to kind of survey the literature for my project. Which I, you know, always set a goal of doing it on a regular basis, like one afternoon or like one morning a week, and then I never do. And I really have no excuse right now. So I've been kind of looking for papers talking about the protein that I study. And it's really helped me reignite my love and passion of my project, honestly. It's really easy to, you know, forget that the thing that we do is so cool and meaningful. And being bored at home, I think, has really given me that opportunity to read. And I mean, not meaninglessly, although that would be okay too, but kind of working on a manuscript. And I thought for a long time, and now I'm getting a little bit deep, but I thought for a long time that like maybe science wasn't for me. But actually, I love it. I really love it, and I really love. I would not say that I'm happy that all of this is happening. There are just some silver linings. It's providing people with a cool opportunity to find the things that bring them joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I've been spending a lot of time falling in love with science again.
I was gonna accuse you of being a workaholic, but I guess I can't do that because you're like, I love it. So
Marie Kondo would be so excited to hear about all the joy that we're having. Does it bring you joy?
Also, Aline, I can't hang out with you anymore because now I feel like you're all down here about how like rekindling your passions and stuff. And I'm over here like, I made bread the other day and it brought me some joy.
Hey, bread is science.
Bread.
So to be fair, I've been baking a lot too. I'm not like constantly reading papers, but so I'm very...
Well, I found deep spiritual enlightenment, so yeah.
I mean, I think being intentional, I think, is what brings people joy. Like, not doing stuff because they should, but doing it because they want to. And also doing stuff that, like, you can't sell when you're finished, I think, is something we don't prioritize enough. We don't get the message enough from society that, like, hey, why don't you go draw a picture and do it just for the hell of it, even if you're bad at drawing.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
It happens to me a lot where like a friend will show me a thing that they made. And my first thought just reflexively is like, oh, you should sell that on Etsy. And they're like, no, because then it wouldn't be fun anymore.
Yeah.
It'd be a job.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You should do that just for the love of the thing.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm.
I'm doing a wine canvas with my sisters tonight.
Who eats Sahana, all the things that you bake? Oh, I guess you guys are with other people. So I just imagine myself baking a dozen cupcakes and then eating all of them myself. But like, who would I give them to?
I have
Wait,
one
you guys
person.
Give your baking to people?
This well, is I just a, imagine, this is a revelation. Like,
we need to. We need know. To. We need
Marina's
to.
Is like, yeah, me too, totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, no, I give it to people. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What do you mean? Don't. I ate two dozen cookies the other day. No, stop.
I'm thinking of the Facebook video, or that's like a news interview of this older woman during a blizzard, and they're like, "What are you gonna do?" And she's like, "I'm gonna eat bread and get all fat and sassy." Sorry, I don't know if anybody's seen that. That might be too obscure, but I think
I
it's still relevant.
That's amazing.
Can we put that in the show notes?
I'm sorry, Sahana, that you need to go back to DC to make bread and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing I've enjoyed in the past is 3D printing and 3D modeling. I dropped it for a while because the first printer I had was frustrating. But I'm picking it up again this week after my new printer arrives tomorrow. And I plan to join the effort to make parts for face shields. There's a group in my area printing and collecting the parts and donating them to the university hospital. So we'll see how that works out. But I really did enjoy
that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I really did enjoy
that one. Brother.
When I was doing that. So.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Thank you.
A lot of good is going to come of this.
Yeah.
I keep talking with a lot of people about, like, okay, it's really hard and it's very morbid, you know, how this is affecting people's health. But I think the silver linings is that it is reshaping our society in, like, really important ways, and definitely increasing empathy and definitely building community and building interconnectedness and just making us all a lot kinder, I think, to each other than we've been for the last few years, which is a good thing.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree.
I need to end the show there because I don't think I could say it better. That is our show.
You're welcome, Dave.
Yeah. That
Wait,
is our show.
We did talk about Zoom etiquette.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's talk about Zoom etiquette.
What is the Zoom etiquette?
Okay. Well, I was just going to point out, have you guys seen that video of that woman who is, like, on a Zoom call with a bunch of her colleagues and she, like, doesn't realize that the camera and, like, muting are two different things, and then she mutes herself, but then she takes it with her to the bathroom, and you, like, see her sitting down on the toilet and, like pulling her pants down and everything, and then she doesn't realize, and no one says anything. One person just keeps talking, and everyone, you just see them going, like, like that, but no one actually says anything.
Oh, no.
She did.
No.
She did.
And like, she finally realizes, but, and then she logs off. She, like, leaves the meeting. But.
I would too.
I am internally, I have cringed into a puckered ball.
I also don't know if this is like a Midwestern thing or not, but I've never said, oh no, you go. Oh no, you go more in my entire life. It's a lot of, no, you were talking, oh, I'm sorry for interrupting.
You know what? That is something Dave and I actually have talked about because, like, there's something about phone technology these days that changed since we had landlines, where landlines, I think, had two-way receiving. So, like, if two people were talking at the same time, you could still hear each other.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow technology's changed in the modern era where, like, if one person is talking, it mutes out the other. I actually really hate it because, like, I'll be telling a story and in the absence of, like, body language, I'm listening for the person reacting to my story. And when hear it, I'm just like, did you get the joke? Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't hear your laughter. So. I'm very self-aware.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think we need to fix that that bit of technology.
All right, get on that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is our show. Aline, Sahana, Miranda, Nathan.
Yep.
Thank you for being my co-host today.
Yep.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And of course, thank you, Shortcoats, for making us a part of your week. If you're new here and you like what you heard today, subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. And wherever else fine podcasts are available. I remind you that
we're
your
not
question,
one of them. But, we're not a fine podcast.
I think we're doing
yes,
all right.
We are.
I remind you that your questions are vital your questions are vital to the show because they mean the show can be what you want it to be about. Send your questions or comments to theshortcoats@gmail.com. You can leave us a message at 347-SHORT-CT. We'll talk about it on the show. While your podcast app is open, we'd need some stars and a review from you to let us know if we're doing the right thing. The show is made possible by a generous donation by Carver College of Medicine student government and ongoing support from the Writing and Humanities program. Our opening music is by Dr. Vox and our closing music is by Catmosphere. Talk to you in 1 week.
Bye.
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 Cool.